now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up.
Pancakes and Power Slam Show. We are here once again live on a Tuesday night, the aftermath of WrestleMania 29 and one of the hottest Raws in recent history. So we have a lot to talk about. We also have the weekly Impact Wrestling ROH recap and analysis. We'll get to that time permitting. The flavor of the week also has to do with Ryback's pay-per-view woes. And so, time permitting, we will get there as well. Feel free to Facebook your thoughts, but to be more interactive, if you want to get some exposure live, feel free to tweet your WrestleMania thoughts or log on to the chat room. Or if you want to call in live, the number is 347-884-8452. I will be taking questions on Twitter. I will be taking questions in the chat room as well. And of course, you know, call in live and I will answer your question there. All right. Well, without further ado, let's get right into this WrestleMania 29. First starts off with a pre-show match, which is The Miz defeating Wade Barrett to become the new Intercontinental Champion. Great start to the WrestleMania. It was the pre-show. However, it was a good start. It was a feel-good moment for the to prelude WrestleMania. So nice little jump start there. Kofi Kingston on the pre-show and post-show panel. So I don't know exactly how I feel about that. Maybe him getting relegated to commentary now is probably best for him because, I don't know, I mean, he's hit a brick wall in his career. I don't know what can resurge Kofi Kingston at all. You know, I've talked about this before. Maybe he'll turn, who knows, but, you know, it's sad that he's relegated to commentary because he has a ton of potential and he's in his early 30s, so he has much time left, but his career is very stalled right now. So unfortunately, we don't see any type of, you know, push at all with Kofi Kingston. So if he has to get relegated to the commentary, I guess it would save some dignity for Kofi Kingston because he doesn't win matches anymore. So if you look at it from that perspective, I guess it would work. He didn't do a terrible job either. So that may be his niche. He may be the next Matt Stryker. Not a successful wrestling career, but I would say currently he's not having a successful wrestling career. He's won multiple titles. I think I counted 9 when I wrote an article. He's been 3-time, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's 3-time Intercontinental Champion. two-time U.S. champion, or three times maybe. I think like he's been tag team champions three or four times. So it's been. I mean, he's had a lot of reigns as a champion. I'll look into that a little bit further if I have time. But he's had a great amount of championships. So he's had a relatively successful career. The only thing that's left is a major title, is a world title. And I think that, you know, it could work. I think he'll have some crowd support behind him if they decide to do the go-ahead to give him a world title push. I would like a feud between himself and Dolph Ziggler for the world heavyweight title, which we'll get to that in a moment. And we'll get to that New Jersey crowd. Not the first New Jersey crowd, but the second. We'll get to that in a moment. So we got a lot to talk about. We're going to have a fun night. Again, the number to call live is 347-884-8452. Of course, I got some trivia questions for you as well. Tweet at Crave Wrestling all of your questions, or log into the chat room to pose questions or answer the chat to answer the trivia questions. It's probably a little better if you log into the chat room to answer the trivia questions, but the Twitter picks up well in the studio as well. If you tweet them, I'll get them, but the chat room will probably be the quickest way. First question is, who did Brian Pillman compete against at the first WCW Nitro? Who did Brian Pillman compete against at the first WCW Nitro? All right, the first match on WrestleMania 29 was The Shield defeating Randy Orton, Sheamus, and Big Show. Now, I'm happy that they did that, especially after what we saw on Raw. I predicted this to win. As a matter of fact, I think that I only got one match wrong. I think I got the pre-show match wrong. I think I said Bear retained. But as far as every match on the card, I think I got everyone but one wrong. And I'll go over those after I recap the event here. Like I said, I mean the Shield, they go over, and it was good. You know, it was a interesting dynamic between Randy Orton, Sheamus, and Big Show. They didn't get along. It's good that they kind of got along towards the end just to show some cohesiveness to be more of a threat for the Shield. I think the match was for the most part, the match was lackluster just because it wasn't a lot of hardcore action going on, because that's the Shield's, that's their niche, is the hardcore scene. Or more extreme scene, kind of anything goes. Because Seth Rollins really knows how to, he really knows how to sell really good spots. So it was a bit lackluster. It was an interesting start of the pay-per-view. I don't think it was a good jump start for the pay-per-view. I personally would have put it first just because of the crowd reaction. At the end, Big Show KO punches Orton and Sheamus post-match. And I like that, too. I was totally fine with that because it keeps the Big Show as a heel, which he needs to stay. Big Show needs to stay a heel. We don't need to see him face again. And then we get Mark Henry defeating Ryback. This really surprised me simply because of the flavor of the week. I mean, I don't understand why. I mean, the writing of this match was really awkward to me. Simply because, I mean, especially after Raw. It was even more weird after Raw because Ryback really needed this win. Mark Henry losing wouldn't have hurt him whatsoever. But Ryback losing just continues the awful streak of someone who is supposed to be getting this dominant push and supposed to be this, you know, just very monstrous character, but he just can't win the pay-per-views, which is really sad. And just him trying to shell shock, Mark Henry holding the ropes, falling on Ryback, and subsequently pinning him as a result, just really awkward to me. I wasn't a big fan of how that was written. And what made it even worse is that Ryback eventually shell shocks Mark Henry, which was good. I mean, I knew against all odds, I was one of those people who had a feeling that he was going to be able to shell shock Mark Henry. That was his big moment. I think that if he would have got the win, I think they would have had some really good momentum for Ryback to be back in the title scene. So it was just awkwardly written for me. Very, very awkwardly written. Team Hell No defeats Dolph Ziggler and Biggie Langston. Many, many people was expecting a cash-in at WrestleMania, which would have been good. But at the same time, I had a really good feeling that Dolph Ziggler and Biggie Langston was not going to win the tag team title matches. Wasn't going to win tag team titles in this match. It was a decent match. Wasn't bad. It wasn't a bad match. But knowing the potential that Dolph Ziggler and Daniel Bryan has, and of course Kane's a good wrestler, and Biggie's not too shabby himself, I would have expected something a bit different. And then they just nixed the whole Caitlyn and AJ involvement. There was a good comment on my article that I wrote about WrestleMania. I wrote about the 8-man tag team match getting nixed. And there was a good comment that said there was no Divas. And there was no Divas match, no Divas really anything except for AJ being a manager in the pay-per-view. And that's not a good look for aspiring, you know, female wrestlers. And I totally agree with that. It's a great point. I think it really, I mean, I'm not a big fan of the Divas division, but this is, I mean, like I always say, this is WrestleMania. You got to pull out all stops. And why in the world did you not have Antonio Cesaro on camera, on anything whatsoever? I think it was a little bit too, it was just, they tried to make it grand and it flopped. They didn't have any fun backstage segments. They didn't have any faces that we haven't seen for a while. It just wasn't good. I just, you know, we'll get to the overall in a minute, but I was surprised at the misjudgment of timing. Fandango defeats Chris Jericho. Now, I'm not okay with this whatsoever. However, I do, the way that he did it wasn't terrible. And it was just kind of, you know, a roll up, a quick roll up that surprised Jericho. Jericho sold the, kept his integrity, tried to keep his dignity on Twitter by saying it's one of the greatest or the greatest upset in WrestleMania history. I'm not a fan of him winning. But I knew he was going to win, though. But the match was not good. I was very surprised. I think a lot of it could be attributed to the fact that Fandango was a bit, was under some pressure, and it definitely showed at WrestleMania that he was under some pressure. There were some miscues of moves. He wasn't really playing his character that much. You can tell that he was nervous. I mean, and understandably so, and that's why I keep saying I'm not knocking Johnny Curtis, and the Fandango character could work. We have a comment on the chat room that basically says that as well. However, just setting him up for, I mean, that is the worst pressure, that is the biggest pressure that anyone can ever have, is debuting a brand new character, his first match being at WrestleMania in front of, it ended up being over 80,000 people, MetLife Stadium record. So that's a big deal. And because of that, I saw that there was just, it was just a lackluster match. It just definitely fell below expectations. And hopefully Fandango can rebound from this. The Raw Jersey crowd definitely gave him some hope, but leaving WrestleMania just wasn't good for Fandango. Alberto Del Rio defeats Jack Swagger. Good match. I had a feeling that it was going to be a good match because they're both great athletes. However, when Del Rio was celebrating, people were just suspensefully waiting for the Dolph Ziggler cash-in, which I thought would have been good, but Del Rio wins the match, and that's what we get from that. So hopefully, you know, I just don't see Jack Swagger. I hope he doesn't stay involved in the world title scene whatsoever. This guy just, I mean, no disrespect to his wrestling ability, but as a colleague of mine was sharing with me during WrestleMania, we both agreed, and I've even said this on the show, mentioned it, or at least referenced it. The problem with Jack Swagger is that this character is so one-dimensional that you can't really have any more variations of this character for it to work. For instance, it's very xenophobic. It's anti any other country. It's very pro-American in a very heelish way, in an entitlement way. So, for instance, the next feud would have to be someone who was not born in America. I share with another colleague that the only person I can think of would be Christian. Christian will return, feud with Jack Swagger, and knowing how Vince McMahon usually books Christian, Swagger may go over Christian. I don't, you know, that wouldn't surprise me whatsoever. But we'll probably see another Christian and Jack Swagger feud kind of rekindling from ECW. Or, I mean, maybe Santino, and that wouldn't be a big name feud whatsoever. Maybe Chris Jericho, you know, maybe that'll work, although he was born in the USA. It would have to be maybe Kali, something like that. But the point is, it would have to be someone who was not USA born. And that's pretty one-dimensional to me. And I don't know. Coulter is good on the mic. No, you know, Coulter is definitely what Jack Swagger needs. His promos are very very interesting, and it could work if it wasn't built toward WrestleMania for a time being, but the pressure was on for it to work leading to WrestleMania. The pressure intensified, and it just didn't work, and it's not really working, and it's just going to get back into the mid-card status. And, you know, Jack Swagger, this is probably the best part of his WWE tenure as far as being a legitimate main eventer. But, you know, like I said, it's one-dimensional. So we'll see. We'll see how far it goes, but I don't see it going too far. Undertaker defeats CM Punk, becomes 21-0. Now, all of you internet darlings, hear me for a second. No disrespect to y'all. This is a wrestling community of fans. You know, many people are entitled to their own opinions. Who you like, who you don't like, just as far as it's reasonable. But I mean, saying that this match stole the show, I'm going to have to disagree for sure. It wasn't a bad match, but coming from 28, in my opinion, his second best match in WrestleMania history, the Hell in a Cell match, and 27, which was Triple H, another phenomenal match, 26 was Shawn Michaels' retirement match, great match. 25 was his best match ever against Shawn Michaels. 24 was even good, because 24 was Edge. 24 was Edge. 23 was Batista, I believe. I believe 22 was Mark Henry. I might be missing one, but I remember 20 was Kane. I think I've got all of the names. Mark Henry, in a casket match, Randy Orton, twice against Shawn Michaels and twice against Triple H. So, honestly, you know, within the past 10 years, I would say that this match is the second worst. I would say the worst match was probably Mark Henry. The match wasn't bad, but Mark Henry is very limited to his abilities, and the Undertaker did a great job, you know, just kind of accentuating his abilities. However, it wasn't. I mean, that's why they had to put the stipulation with the casket match. I mean, because of that. So I would say Mark Henry, but it wasn't a bad match again. I would put this match, the casket match was WrestleMania 22. So 23 was Batista, 24 was Edge, 25 and 26 were Shawn Michaels, 27 and 28 was Triple H. And I'll get to WrestleMania 21 in a minute for some reason that has skipped my memory. But I'll get to it, because I'm pretty good with the streak, and I'm pretty good with the King of the Ring winners and the Royal Rumble winners by memory. So I will get to it. It'll come up to me as far as WrestleMania 21. All right. Well, the next match was Triple H. Well, the real quick comments in the chat room saying that, agreeing actually, saying that Undertaker and CM Punk was not a good match. However, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to give it the benefit of the doubt. That's why I'm kind of fumbling for words right now. I'm trying to do my best to try to give it the benefit of the doubt. It just wasn't that good. I mean, I'm not gonna sugarcoat around it. I'm sorry, Randy Orton. Was so Kane 20, Randy Orton 21. That was a good match. 22 Mark Henry, 23 Batista, 24 Edge, 25 and 26 Shawn Michaels, 27 and 28 Triple H. So Randy Orton was 21. 21 is a good match. I really did a good job kind of creating a launch pad for creating a launch pad for Randy Orton's career. So during his Big Evil gimmick, he was known to, quote unquote, make people famous. And I think he wasn't in his Big Evil gimmick then, if I'm not mistaken. That was 8 years ago. So it was 2005. No, he wasn't in his Big Evil gimmick. His Big Evil gimmick was no, he wasn't, because he went back to the Dead Man in 20, and that was 13 years ago. That was 20. It was 9 years ago, and so that was 2004. He went back to the Dead Man gimmick. So 2003 was Big Evil. That's when he feuded against Hulk Hogan and Triple H. So, but saying all that to say that he was talking about making people famous during his Big Evil gimmick, and he transcended. He even transcended that to his Dead Man, his revived Dead Man gimmick, and I really believe he did make Randy Orton famous, you know, in that context, because Orton was just a young kid. WrestleMania 21, if I'm not mistaken, was his first WrestleMania, because he debuted in 2002. No, if I'm not mistaken, 2003 was his first one, because that was the Evolution against The Rock and Sock Connection handicap match. If I'm mistaken, let me know. But I do believe that WrestleMania. That was the Evolution versus Rock and Sock Connection. So, I mean, you know, in the past 10 years, I can confidently say that this was The Undertaker's second worst WrestleMania match. None of them in the past 10 years were bad, but I would say that although this wasn't a bad match whatsoever, the last little bit of the match, you know, they ate each other's finishers. That was good. That was a nice little. That was a nice little, you know, resurgence of the match. But other than that, it was pretty lackluster. If I could be honest, in spite of the criticism that I might get via Twitter, I'll take it for the side of telling the truth. So, all right, and then next match, I think the next match, conversely, was the best one. I think that the match between Triple H and Brock Lesnar was passionate. I think it was just hard-hitting, and although it had a pretty small, lackluster start, I think towards the middle and building towards the end was really good. Although Brock Lesnar did show some O2 Lesnar. By the way, Brock Lesnar got back in shape. Kudos to him. He looked really good. He looked like he trained a whole lot and looked like he was in shape back in his O2 Brock Lesnar days. So we're actually going to take a call. Let us know your name, where you're from, and what's on your mind. Caller on the air.
Hey, how y'all guys doing? My name is Patrick. I'm calling from South Carolina.
Hey, Patrick.
And, hey, how you doing, man?
Good, good. What's on your mind?
You know, I just not got through watching the Hall of Fame, and, you know, I didn't get a chance to watch all of it, so I can't really rate the show and say it was a very excellent show or anything like that. I've just been seeing the social media talks about the whole Mick Foley induction, and I need to go back over that and watch that because I forgot the air was tonight. But I want to talk about the whole Dolph Ziggler cashing in the Money in the Bank. I felt like it was way overdue. You know, it was about time that he finally cashed it in. But, you know, consequently, man, he cashed it in at the right time, man. you know, a lot of people being stirred up on social media saying that Ryback has turned heel when he's really not. He's just basically after redemption with John Cena to basically get back in that title race. So I just want to let everybody know that out there that Ryback is not heel.
All right. Awesome. Thank you for your call, Patrick. I really appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, he's right. Patrick is right. From what we saw, we'll get to that in depth later. It wasn't necessarily a heel turn. He's more of a tweener. He's more of a redemption thing. And I think it was a good idea. Like I said, we'll get back to that. As far as Dolph Ziggler cashing in the Money in the Bank, long overdue. You hit the nail right on the head there. As far as it being a long overdue. And it was 9 months. He won it last Money in the Bank. So it's been just about 9 months. And the only person who did that and got away with it was Edge, the very first person who cashed the bank in. That's another thing that my memory is pretty good at. Money in the Bank, real quick. The first one was Edge. He won it at WrestleMania. And he cashed it in at New Year's Revolution of that year, or the next year, the following year, in January. So he had it for 9 months. Cashed it in at New Year's Revolution event. Beat John Cena. Lost to John Cena the following, like 3 weeks later at the Royal Rumble. And then the next year, Ken Anderson, well, Mr. Kennedy won. But he got injured, and then Edge beat him on an episode of Raw to take the – oh, wait a minute. I think that was the third one. I might be talking about the third one because I think the second one was RVD, if I'm not mistaken. Flip-flopping as far as the number. But I know that Ken Anderson won Mr. Kennedy, whatever you want to call him. He won the Money in the Bank, and then Edge won on Raw because he was injured. And then Edge, he cashed it in on The Undertaker on a SmackDown. It was within weeks after he won. And it was really interesting because I remember them having a ticker on the bottom of Raw. It was ECW, because that's when ECW was still around, because they taped SmackDown on Tuesdays, and there was a ticker at Money in the Bank. It was a ticker about the Money in the Bank briefcase. WrestleMania 23 is when Mr. Kennedy became Money in the Bank. It was a ticker that talked to, and RVD was 22. So Edge, RVD, cashed it in at One Night Stand, defeated John Cena, and then Mr. Kennedy won at 23, and then Edge beat Mr. Kennedy at Raw, cashing in on Undertaker. And the ticker came on ECW saying that Edge cashed it in on the Undertaker, and that was really weird that they kind of spoiled SmackDown taping. It was odd that they did that, kind of like what they did with Alberto Del Rio winning the belt from the Big Show. That was pretty odd too. They actually put it on WWE.com. It was on the front page. So that was pretty odd. 24 was CM Punk. He cashed it in on Edge after Batista beat up Edge on a Raw. He cashed it in on Edge. He won the 25 as well. Cashed it in on Jeff Hardy I believe it was Extreme Rules, if I'm not mistaken. 26 was Jack Swagger. He cashed it in on Chris Jericho the same week on SmackDown. 27 is when they start doing it. The Miz, I'm sorry. 26 was, wait. And it started to get a little awkward because they start to have Raw and SmackDown, and it was just rather odd how they did it, because I think they had 3 Money in the Banks in 1 year. As far as WrestleMania 26, we'll get back to that. Lost my memory. If anybody wants to tweet or chat room who won the WrestleMania 26 Money in the Bank, because Jack Swagger won it at, yeah, he won it at 26. Yeah, he won it at 26. And then Miz won it. Swagger won at 26, cashed it against Chris Jericho. Miz won the Raw one at 26 and cashed it in at a Raw against Randy Orton. Kane won because they had 3 Money in the Banks that year. Jack Swagger won, and then Miz won at the pay-per-view, and then Kane won at the pay-per-view because he cashed it in the same night against Rey Mysterio. And then WrestleMania 27, they didn't have one, but they did have the actual pay-per-view. Because I know that Dario won, Daniel Bryan won. So that's basically the Money in the Bank runners. That's basically how it went. The point of that is that none of them kept it for a while. Miz kept it for a few months. Daniel Bryan won it in July and cashed it in December against the Big Show. Edge is the only one that kept it for 9 months. But, yeah, Dolph Ziggler kept it for 9 months. Long overdue. I'm still, you know, you might criticize me for this, but I still don't think Ziggler's a top draw. I don't think he's a big draw. I think he had a chance to be a pretty considerable draw, especially when he was feuding with CM Punk. It was Royal Rumble of 2012 when they had a match for the WWE title, and it was a good match. Some good close falls there. But I hope I'm wrong, though, because I liked Dolph Ziggler. I still like Dolph Ziggler, but I was real high on Dolph Ziggler for a while, but he's not a considerable liked wrestler of mine anymore, but I was glad what I saw in Raw, and we'll get to that. Real quick, before we bring Derek in, our Raw correspondent, let's talk about John Cena defeating The Rock. I was not impressed with this match whatsoever. Now, I will say this. The Rock did tear his abdomen and his adductor and had a hernia. I'm not going to totally just say the match bombed because they didn't try. Kudos to The Rock for wrestling injured. But I will say this, though. The Rock knows. I mean, he's been wrestling for quite some time. I believe 96 is when he debuted, or 90. Yeah, I think it was Survivor Series 96. And so he knows the toll that it takes on your body to wrestle those matches. As much as he trains, as much as, you know, his muscles are, being worked from his workout regimen, I think that he should have known he should have wrestled more matches. He wrestled the Royal Rumble. I think he should have wrestled some house matches, something. But to have a 6-week span of not wrestling a match, not good. I mean, especially the main event match at WrestleMania, where you know that you're going to have to give your all and wrestle the best match of the night. At least that's what you should aim for. And the very fact that he went, you know, 6 weeks without wrestling a match, I mean, that would do that. I'm a personal trainer. I'm familiar with muscles, and I'm familiar with the very fact that you have. I mean, if you're working out for a competition, if you're training for something, you have to practice at what you're training at. I mean, nobody's good enough to go eons without, you know, wrestling a match. I know Michael McGillicuddy trained The Rock, upon his return. However, I mean, you got to go out there. You got to give us some more matches. And unfortunately, this is what happens when you go a long span of time without wrestling a match. I mean, this wasn't, you know, a typical little 5-minute match on Raw, 5 to 7 minute match on Raw. This was a half hour main event match, the biggest pay per view of the year. So, wasn't a fan, but a lot of people know that I'm not a Cena fan whatsoever. However, definitely happy that John Cena won to get us away from the WWE title not being on Raw for a number of weeks. So, all right, we're going to bring in Derek, the Raw correspondent. Before we bring him in, the answer to the trivia question was Jushin Thunder Liger, is the person that Brian Pillman went against. Feel free to go in the chat room. I see people staying in for a while, going out. Just have fun, park in there, and I'll say your answers. I'll say your thoughts, you know, your civil thoughts on air if applicable, and I'll also say your answers to the trivia question, or again, you can tweet them at Crave Wrestling. Next question before we bring Derek, our Raw correspondent, and I'm sure he's going to have some pay-per-view opinions and thoughts as well. Next question is, what former WWE wrestler originally had Brodus Clay's theme song? What former WWE wrestler who wrestled in the WCW as well formerly had Brodus Clay's theme song that he has now? All right, Derek, our esteemed Raw correspondent, let us know your thoughts, sir.
Here are my thoughts. I'm trying to think. Last trivia question was Ernie the Cat Miller, but just at the tip of my tongue.
So close enough. Ernest the Cat. Close enough. It was Ernest the Cat Miller.
Okay. I'm thinking Ernie Ladd or something from.
No, not the cat. Ernie Ladd. Yeah. That's
okay. Not him. Anyway, moving on. Monday Night Raw was Cena. He talks too much. He gets boring. Last night, opening Raw, he came out, okay, he's the new champion. Everyone expected The Rock would probably bow out. Passing of the torch, if you want to say that, what Hollywood Hulk Hogan did to The Rock back in 2002, I believe, at WrestleMania. Is this the same situation? Not really, no. I mean, John Cena, or, you know, this is the second time it's happened, and The Rock finally lost. Okay, let's deal with it, get over it. John Cena, again, he doesn't have the crowd like some people do. However, you know, The Miz versus Wade Barrett last night for the Intercontinental Championship. The Miz won at WrestleMania from Barrett, or not WrestleMania, but the pre-show, and then Barrett wins it back. What do you expect out of this? It's, again, I always like The Miz. I want The Miz. I look at him as someone that's going to be around for a while, maybe like an a la Christian, or I've compared him to Jericho, but I kind of take that back, but not really. So let's just watch The Miz, see what happens. Swagger versus Alberto Del Rio, not a big match in my standards. Alberto wins again. Ziggler cashes in Money in the Bank. Ziggler wins. That was good. I enjoyed that. It kind of came out of nowhere for me. I saw that, and I enjoyed it. So, but again, I kind of agree with you, what you said earlier, Ziggler, you know, Who is Dolph Ziggler? Is that who is going to carry the championship belt? Someone that Ric Flair, all these people in the past. I mean, you got, Harley Race, all these guys. Is he someone that can contend with that just because he got the money in the bank and was able to take advantage of somebody? So Y2J and the Fandango encounter. Fandango, I kind of get it. It's kind of a fun gimmick for me. I got into it when the Jersey people last night, and I'm in no way saying that Jersey Shore and all that good stuff is fun, but it was cool. Everyone's dancing along to the theme music. I kind of get into it. It's fun for now. We'll see where it goes. I'm not going to hold it to anyone's candle or light. But again, Y2J can make anyone look like $1 million, and I'll say that a million times, and I have said that a million times. Cena versus Mark Henry, Ryback attacking Cena. Does Ryback deserve a title shot? Absolutely not. Ryback is so far beaten so many times. He's not even on the same stage as Cena. And I don't even hold Cena that big a regard, but he's big enough compared to what the wrestling world wants to believe as someone who's an ultimate champion. Ryback doesn't deserve to sniff the air that Cena breathes. On that note, WrestleMania 29 was mediocre WrestleMania. I've seen better. I've seen worse. However, yeah, the Mark Henry and Ryback was kind of a shock. I was surprised to see Mark Henry win a match. So it's kind of like Ryback is the new Mark Henry. Team Hell No versus Langston and Ziggler. That was great. Team Hell No is one tag team. I want them to stay together. I'd love them to stay together. The only thing I can see them is probably breaking up soon and having a rivalry. But, again, they are the only tag team that really sticks out in my head within the last maybe 5 to 10 years that really makes a difference and makes me say tag team in the WWE. However, everything else, I've eaten up a lot of time. Pancakes and Power Slams every Tuesday night. 11 o'clock, Chris Featherstone, one of the prestigious best in the business. Let's keep this thing going. I am Raw, the Derek the Raw correspondent. Let's go. Chris Featherstone, back to you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Appreciate those accolades. I do what I can to make sure that the wrestling community is having fun and giving them the interaction that they long for, all of the tweets and all of the emails and comments that I receive and all the support. I really, really appreciate it. Feel free to call in like Patrick did. And I do get a lot of tweets. 347-884-8452. If I have some time, I'll say one of the questions that I get tweeted and or emailed or Facebooked. I might do a Facebook reference. I had some people do Facebook their opinions on the Crave Wrestling Facebook page, and I think that I just may do that. I think I just may go there before we go to Raw. So thank you very much, Derek, for your kind gestures. And real quick, we had one of the comments for WrestleMania. We had a Bruno Marquez. He says, big disappointment. He says, no heel turn for Orton or Cena. No Antonio Cesaro. Fantastic point. On Raw or SmackDown, which is ridiculous. No Ziggler cash in or tag title win. Have Ziggler win the tags and cash in the same night would make him a star and steal the show. But that would be just too awesome for the writers. like I said, feel free to send your thoughts through Facebook or Twitter. And time permitting, or if applicable, I will say them. I agree with everything you said, Bruno, with the exception of the with the exception of the dual championship, I don't think that would have been a good idea to have him as tag champ and world heavyweight champ. That would just he would just kind of hoard the tag team titles because he won't. I don't see him doing much with that. So I'm glad that he didn't have the tag team titles when he. When we saw what happened on Raw, which we will get there now. Next question, before we get to Raw, like I said, time permitting, we'll, of course, do our Impact Wrestling Review and ROH and then the Flavor of the Week. We'll try to squeeze that in. The Flavor of the Week is the Ryback's pay-per-view woes. So his pay-per-view statistics from the last time he won a pay-per-view and all the pay-per-views following that. So we'll get to that time permitting. Even if we don't have time for Impact Wrestling and ROH, try to squeeze that in for conversational purposes. Next question is, what wrestlers were a part of the tag team called Power and Glory? What wrestlers were a part of the tag team called Power and Glory? All right, let's get to Raw. Raw was... I'll first start off by saying Raw was one of the best Raws that I have seen in a considerable amount of time. I mean, I can't think of a better Raw that I've seen in years. I know that Sacramento was a really good Raw leading into, I believe it was the go-home show to Hell in a Cell. That was really good. They did the camera action, and the crowd was just berserk, and the camera was shaking. And when Ryback came in and beat up, I think he meat hooked CM Punk. It was really good. That was the height of Ryback's career. Great job, by the way, chat room. Hercules and Paul Roma is indeed Power and Glory. But yeah, New Jersey was just fantastic, very heel heavy, and understandably why you can't feed cities that house a lot of indie shows, you can't just feed them fluff, and that's what I respect about New Jersey and New York crowd. You just can't feed them fluff. I remember an episode of ECW, the WWE's version of ECW, when they had the weekly episodic show on TV, when they had it on TV. And the main event, this is when the Big Show had the ECW title. The main event was the ECW championship match between the Big Show and Batista. And it was in the Hammerstein Ballroom. Now, first of all, that was basically career suicide because, and thank God it wasn't, because both of their careers were established enough and, you know, was very above, their careers transcended ECW, but thank God it was, that as a result, you know, compared to anything else. But I tell you, that match, and Batista was a clear-cut face. He was way over in the WWE at the time. And he went inside the Hammerstein Ballroom. Big Show was already a heel. And so, you know, he just ate up the heat that he got. But Batista got booed so heavily that he was just as bad as the Big Show. And they were chanting same old expletive that... a more vulgar version of stuff, and they were yelling that, you know, and they were just yelling a whole bunch of just derogatory things about the match, and yeah, I mean, that match was just brutal to watch, because you have two WWE-bred people, Batista's a WWE-bred, Big Show as a character is WWE, but Paul White's WCW. But the point being, neither of them are ECW bred, and you have the main event at the ECW arena. I mean, the Hammerstein Ballroom was just it was just the spot for ECW. So, yeah, they made that mistake before. And you get a Jersey crowd, you get a New York crowd, and you're going to get the same reaction. So, very heel heavy, but it was a nice little twist. It was a nice little breath of fresh air to see a crowd like that. So, starts off with John Cena's in-ring promo. Interesting heel turn reference, what he said. That was really interesting. Fans cheer, actually, when he said that. Interrupted by Mark Henry, agrees to a WWE Championship match, and then Booker T, you know, wait a minute, you know, and he scheduled a match between the two. If Mark Henry wins, then he becomes the number one contender, so he had a hurdle to jump in order to become the number one contender. Biggie Langston defeats Daniel Bryan. I don't know what this does. I guess makes Langston a reputable singles wrestler on television because he's the man in NXT. But as far as Raw is concerned, I guess this is making him a credible wrestler. Now, Wade Barrett defeats The Miz to become the new Intercontinental Champion. Similar to what Derek said, you know, I have no idea why they did that. Maybe to start, maybe to have a breath of fresh air for Raw to kind of start it off like that. Maybe to have Wade Barrett become Intercontinental, go into London. They're supposed to go into London, supposed to be in London shortly. Maybe since he's in, you know, he's maybe going into London would help him. You know, he's a UK guy, so maybe that would have helped. Maybe that helps him. Maybe they're doing that, you know, for that sake. I mean, they did that to Regal a couple times, had him win like the tag team championship. But they were actually in the UK, if I'm not mistaken. It was him and Tajiri, I believe, when they won the titles. But I don't know exactly why they decided to do this, but it's very interesting that they decided to go ahead and put the belt on Wade Barrett. We welcome your calls for all 347-884-8452. Again, 347-884-8452. You know, don't feel bad for holding on because I'll be able to take them if time permitting. But maybe you'll call in and at a good time, and you'll be right on the air. So. Let us know your Raw thoughts and WrestleMania thoughts, 347-884-8452. Sheamus demands the match with the Big Show. Vicky and Brad Maddox grants the match, and then we also see Randy Orton demanding a match against the Big Show to Booker T, and he grants it. A little weird there. Just see planning for a Randy Orton heel turn, and I'm really happy about that. It's long overdue. Real quick, let's go to the next trivia question. It's a multiple choice. I think it was the first ever I've asked just about, I don't know how many, it seems like hundreds, but I don't know exactly the number of questions I've asked since I started the trivia piece on the show. But, okay, I have four names for you. And those names are Dean Malenko, Brian Pillman, Jeff Jarrett, or Steve Austin. Out of those four, who has never been a member of the Four Horsemen? So go ahead and type in or tweet your answer there. Next we have Alberto Del Rio defeating Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter. Yeah, as soon as he played the leg injury, I think it was his ankle. It was pretty much a lock that I was just waiting for the music to cue. We were hearing We Want Ziggler with the Jersey crowd. When Ziggler came out, I mean, the crowd marked so hard. It was crazy. But the feel, the passion of that was really cool. And you could tell that Ziggler really felt that. I mean, he was just eating that all up. And rightfully so. I mean, that's a big deal. And kudos to Dolph Ziggler for winning the World Heavyweight Championship and cashing in the Money in the Bank. So it was a nice moment. It was a cool moment. It was a feel-good moment. Don't know exactly what they're going to do with Lesnar, with Ziggler. Again, I don't believe he's a top draw. I hope that they book him right this time. But long overdue, and it was a really good choice to cash. It was a really good choice to pick as far as the crowd is concerned. I'm glad that we saw that. I'm glad that we experienced that with that kind of crowd. So kudos to the WWE for making the call to put the title, to have Ziggler cash in the Money in the Bank and put the title on him at this Raw. So it was a good. Undertaker starts his in-ring promo, said he dedicated his winner Paul Bearer, and then the Shield appears. And I was very intrigued by this. I liked what I saw. I was wondering how the Undertaker would defend them all, because I didn't want to see him be a victim of the Shield and get triple powerbomb. I didn't want to see that, because the Undertaker needs as much of his old type of dominance that he can get now, and being demoralized by the Shield really wouldn't help him at all. So that's why I'm very glad they did what they did as far as bringing in Kane and Daniel Bryan to even up the numbers. Hopefully we see a match between the six at Extreme Rules. That would be a nice little addition to the show. That would definitely be a decent draw for the show, and I'm totally in favor of it. So good segment there. Santino Marella, R-Truth, and Zack Ryder defeat 3MB. Poor 3MB. I mean, they had a time where they were really over. But not anymore. So, 3MB doesn't mean anything anymore. And to throw in a team like Santino, R-Truth, and Zack Ryder to beat 3MB, that's a bit embarrassing. I like all three of the baby faces. Those are the three baby faces that don't get many push, don't get a push, and that are some of my favorites. But I'm definitely glad that they won. Steve Austin, great job, chat room. That is the correct answer. Next question is: what former WWE superstar was also known as Vampire Warrior? What former WWE superstar was also known as Vampire Warrior? All right, Sheamus and Randy Orton argue backstage on who should fight Big Show. Then they do a poll to see who the fans want. The poll didn't mean anything because they assigned a match between Randy Orton and Sheamus to figure that out. And then eventually the Big Show comes out and throws Sheamus to the post and just beats up on Randy Orton. So I don't know what that does. I mean, that just kind of that kind of takes the probability away from Randy Orton heel turn. Because it seems like we're going to get a match. Although there might be a swerve. Well, they may be teasing a match, and then at the end of the day, Orton could turn on Sheamus. So hopefully we'll get something, because I'm not too enthused of a Big Show Randy Orton feud at this point in time. Kind of leaves Sheamus out in the cold, to be honest. So we'll see how that formulates. But I'll tell you what, Jersey crowd, absolutely hilarious. I mean, that's what you should pay to. That's what should happen at every Raw. I mean, you pay your hard-earned money to go to a show to have some fun. And that's exactly what Jersey did. kudos to Jersey. They had fun. They did the wave. They were chanting RVD, ECW, JBL, Jerry Lawler, Michael Cole, Randy Savage. I mean, the match was not very exciting. And so, you know, the Jersey crowd said, okay, well, this match isn't exciting, but that's not going to take away from our experience. We're going to make the best out of it. So that was good. And then what topped it off and what's just permeating through the airwaves now is the the humming or the mimicking the basically the crowd just decided to kind of hum the Fandango music, and that was just absolutely so funny during his match with Kofi Kingston. Before we get to that, Thank You Big Show was another chant that Jersey voiced during that segment, which is really funny. But that was just absolutely hilarious. And you could tell that Fandango was eating that up too. That was absolutely hilarious. And that actually, there was actually, if you go to WrestlingInc.com, it shows you, there's a video that shows that they were on the subway and going out of the arena and still humming the tune. And that's absolutely hilarious. I thought it was so funny. At least Kofi Kingston didn't. I mean, he lost by DQ because Jericho aggressively runs and beats up Fandango, which I was very happy about. Enough with Jericho just, I mean, the thing is, he'll probably job to Fandango at Extreme Rules, which is crazy to me, but at least he had some type of advantage. At least I can savor this moment, and it's unfortunate that I have to say that with Chris Jericho, but that's how it is now. Tons of Funk and Funkadactyls defeats Team Rose Scholars and the Bella Twins. Here's the thing with this, real quick. It doesn't matter that it doesn't matter that it was a good match or not. It was a decent match. It went over a little bit at Jersey because they were involved. They were clapping their hands, but the face team didn't get much pops. The biggest pops went to Damian Sandow. But you have eight people who do all of this work to make it at WrestleMania, and they don't. So that's what I'm not happy about. I was definitely happy that they still decided to do the match. But I think, I mean, even the Bellas sent a tweet. I posted it on WrestlingInc.com. Even the Bellas and on Bleacher Report, even the Bellas sent a tweet, you know, just basically huddled up, seemed like they were praying. I mean, this was their moment. I mean, this is WrestleMania. And they actually had a built angle, you know, going on. It wasn't just a thrown together match. It's been building for weeks now. And it has, you know, had significant TV exposure to it. So to just kind of snub it, yeah, I was not a big fan of that. There was definitely other things that they could have shortened. You know, a lot of people know. A lot of people voiced their opinion on things that should have been snubbed. I definitely agree with what I've seen. Then we get John Cena defeating Mark Henry by countout. Don't exactly know why that was the case. Maybe not. Maybe to save Mark Henry, to not have him lose to Cena because they're setting him up. I don't know. I don't know what that was for, but he lost, so he doesn't get to be number one contender because Rock is injured, and Booker T said that Rock is still number one contender, but Mark Henry had an opportunity, but he doesn't. But Ryback has an opportunity now because he comes out, Mika clotheslines and spinebuster Mark Henry, and he helps Cena up, chants Feed Me More. Then he meat hooks and clotheslines and shell shocks Cena, holds up the WWE Championship. Now, one, similar to what Patrick was saying, our caller, I don't consider this a heel turn. He's, if anything, he's a tweener because he was still chanting, "Feed me more." So, yeah, I don't consider him a tweener. I don't think that they should make him heel because he's just going to be fed to John Cena, which would make him lose another pay per view, which would really sabotage his legacy in the WWE. His career is right back, so. I don't know. I don't know what they're doing with Henry. I don't know. I mean, but Henry beat Ryback, but Ryback gets the title match. It's just really awkward last-minute booking. It's reported that Ryback was the Ryback was the wrestler of choice for Cena for a little while now. And so even if that's the case, why would he lose at Mania? I don't care what type of spot you create. It was an awkward spot, and he lost. So that was just not a good idea to do that, especially leading to what happened on Raw. Still no answer through tweets. Still no answer through the chat room of what former WWE superstar was also known as the Vampire Warrior. All right, well, because of WrestleMania Raw, we're going to, SmackDown was mostly just a couple of matches, Ryback defeating Primo Epico, and the parody of Team Rose Scholars and Jack Swagger defeating Kofi Kingston, just mostly a setup to WrestleMania. As far as Impact Wrestling is concerned, let's go there right quick. Aces and Eights in-ring promo. Anderson invites AJ to group. Devon has envelope for Bully. D'Lo talks about termination. Letter sent by TNA. Kurt Angle comes out, confronts D'Lo, attacks him. Then Aces and Eights attack Angle, but TNA members make the save. Brick Hogan and Joey Ryan backstage segment, and Ryan allowed to ref the KO's match. I think that's a good place for him because anywhere else wouldn't be relevant right now. Tara and Gail Kim defeats Taryn Terrell and Velvet Sky. Funny match with Joey Ryan calling it. Ryan flirts with Terrell and Sky post-match against low blow by Terrell. Bobby Roode and Austin Aries versus Chavo and Hernandez contract signing. Stipulations added are 2 out of 3 falls, and if Chavo and Hernandez lose, they must disband their team. I write a weekly column of Impact review after every Impact show weekly, and I think that this may lead to a Chavo Hill turn. I don't think it'll mean anything, but Hernandez as a singles wrestler is needed right now because he needs to. I mean, there was a couple times. Hernandez is a phenomenal wrestler. I really like Hernandez as a wrestler. He should get a push. He just has no charisma. I mean, his mic work is just subpar, to say the least. He did big in Mexico. He drew well in Mexico, but it wasn't. I mean, it's not really the entertainment value. Is not really a big deal in Mexico. It's more of just action, and you know that. I mean, you basically get it there. And same with Japan, but. In the States, it's a whole different thing, especially, you know, televised shows. So Hernandez's mic work is just not there. And it's sad because I really like Hernandez and I really wish he does good. This may lead to something. This may give him an opportunity to have another singles run because he had a decent singles run a couple times, actually, in TNA. But this may put him back on a legitimate singles run. I don't think it does anything for Chavo, though, because turning him heel would just be a temporary fix. I think eventually he'll just kind of fall on the wayside. Good Tech Challenge. Alan Pearson and Magno, that was just such a horrible match. So many miscues, and it's surprising, they've both been wrestling for a while. And Magno's been in TNA before. He was in the World X Cup representing Team Mexico. But Adam Pearce, I've watched many of his matches. I follow him in NWA, and he's a much better wrestler than what we saw on Thursday. So for all of those who watched Adam Pearce for the first time, don't give up on him. He's a good wrestler. He's a consummate heel. He knows how to play the character, and he's a good wrestler. So don't just give up on him. See why you could, but just believe me enough to know that he's better than what you saw. Ace and Ace confront AJ Styles backstage. Anderson gives him a vest. Hulk Hogan calls out AJ Styles. Styles walks to the ring holding Ace and Nate vest. Hogan talks to AJ, and James Storms appears and talks to AJ. AJ walks away looking at the Aces and Ace vest. A good little storyline we see there. It has a lot of weeks that can be built from it. Petey Williams defeats Mason Andrews and Sanjay Dutt. Good match. Didn't live up to my expectations, but that was going to be a phenomenal match. It was still a good match, though. It wasn't a bad match, but good to see Petey Williams win. The Canadian Destroyer is just one of the most, is just one of the best executed finishers on television. Big fan of the Canadian Destroyer. Aces and Eights in Clubhouse. Bully talks to them, and Aces and Eights defeats Joseph Park, Kurt Angle, Samoa Joe, Magnus, and Eric Young. And then finally we get the Bully Way and Brooke Hogan face off in the ring, and Bullies Brooke, and then Jeff Hardy saves Brooke, and he and Bully fight in the ring. Get ready for the live episode in Corpus Christi, Texas, of the Full Metal Mayhem coming up this coming episode. The answer to the question is Gangrel. Gangrel was known as the Vampire Warrior. Real quick, kudos to, well, we saw on ROH, we saw on the show that ACH and Tadarius Thomas defeating Mike Sydal and Adam Page. Athena, that finisher off the ropes was really, really good. She defeats Mischief, Scarlet Bordeaux, and Cherry Bomb. And then Roderick Strong defeating Pepper Parks and Red Dragon defeating Forever Hooligans. Kudos to the Supercard of Honor card was good too. Kudos to Jay Briscoe for winning the Ring of Honor heavyweight title. Still actively teaming up with his brother, but they decided to give him the title, and I'm okay with that because he's been in there since day one and worked his butt off and definitely deserves to be champion. All right, real quick, Flavor of the Week before we close the show today. Great show. Thank you all who tweeted. Thank you all who called in. Only could take one call, but we're going to start taking more calls. So, you know, feel free to call in 347-884-8452. Go to chat room, log in to answer the trivia questions or tweet them. Check out my articles on Bleacher Report and on WrestlingInc.com, two of the best sites in the world for wrestling news. And if you have any questions, if you have any inquiries, if you have any ideas for the Flavor of the Week, email them at Crave Wrestling. We need your help financially too, so go to PayPal, and the PayPal email is to donate is CraveWrestling@gmail.com. So we get a lot of support. So, you know, the old adage is, you know, put your money where your mouth is. So we definitely accept your contributions to keep this show on the air. So thank you all for who supports us and keep it going. Spread the word about Pancakes and Power Slams. All right, real quick, Ryback's pay-per-view statistics from the last one he won. So believe it or not, the last pay-per-view he won was last July, 9 months ago. He won at the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, defeating Curt Hawkins and Tyler Rex in a handicap match. Since last July, the guy has not won a single pay-per-view. You want proof of that? Here we go, Flavor of the Week. August, SummerSlam, he did not compete. September, Night of Champions, did not compete. October, Hell in a Cell, he lost to CM Punk. November, Survivor Series, he lost to CM Punk. It was a triple threat match. Cena was pinned, but that's when we saw the debut of The Shield. It took him out. December, TLC lost to The Shield. Daniel Bryan was pinned, but he was still on the losing team. January, Royal Rumble, he was the runner-up, but he still lost. I mean, the runner-up is just a runner-up. It's just the first-place loser, if you want to look at it that way. February was Elimination Chamber, lost to The Shield. He was with John Cena and Sheamus, but he was the one who was pinned. And then lastly, WrestleMania 29 lost to Mark Henry. So in the past 9 months, he has won once. He has lost five times, six including the Royal Rumble. So that is not good whatsoever. And then two of those pay-per-views he didn't compete. So not good whatsoever. So this guy, I'm doing my best to hold on to Ryback. I'm trying my best. I think the turn, kind of, you know, he's kind of a tweener now. I hope they don't make him a full-fledged heel, because he'll just be basically lambed to the slaughter to a major babyface. I don't see him getting really over as a heel. Already an overage of heels and not enough significant baby faces right now. So hopefully we see Ryback resurge. But unfortunately, I don't see him, like I said, I don't see him winning Extreme Rules. Of course, I mean, him beating John Cena for the WWE title, it's just impossible to think of. Never say never in the WWE, but that's as close to never as I can possibly fathom. So we'll see how this develops in the coming weeks with Ryback's newly acquired mean streak, so to speak. The very fact that he would turn on Cena for the sake of becoming WWE champion. Let's see where it turns to. But at the end of the day, Cena is now the WWE champion, and I don't see anybody taking that off of him anytime soon. Unfortunate for people like me who would want other people to have an opportunity to shine, but, you know, one thing I am is I'm rational. I'm very rational, and I understand it from a business standpoint. Cena draws money, and that's the reason why he's the man. However, this is what I say about that. So does The Undertaker, and he hasn't been champion in years. Albeit he's only wrestled a couple matches in the past few years, but even when he was there, he didn't have the title a lot because he didn't need the title to draw. So, and Cena didn't have the title at all last year. I mean, last time he was champ was he lost the title at Survivor Series of. He lost the title at Hell in a Cell, I believe it was, because he won it at it's been even longer than that. Wow. Because Del Rio had it, if I'm not mistaken, because CM Punk, yeah, he won it right before SummerSlam. He beat Rey Mysterio. So this was, I think that, that little crazy Raw tournament was in either July or August, because I know it was right before SummerSlam, because CM Punk walked out. So it was after Money in the Bank and before SummerSlam. It's the time that John Cena won the title. CM Punk beat him for it. Del Rio, CM Punk beat John Cena at Survivor at SummerSlam. CM Punk, and then Del Rio cashed it in. CM Punk got it back at Night of Champions. Then he lost it at Hell in a Cell to Del Rio in a triple threat match, and then he won it back at SummerSlam. I mean, at Survivor Series. So SummerSlam was the last time that John Cena had the title. So it's been since August of 2011. So a year and a half goes by. John Cena is not the champion, and he was still drawing. So it doesn't necessarily take. People like John Cena doesn't need the title, you know, to be relevant or to draw. And so, you know, but that's the way of the way. That's the law of the land, you know. Put it on Cena, you know, if all else fails. He's had it 11 times. So that's a big feat for someone who's only been there for almost 11 years. So statistically, he wins the title once a year. So That's a big deal. You know, I don't think anybody can really say that. Flair was champ 16 times, but he wrestled for 40 years, just about. So you know, Cena is the chosen one, and still is. So we'll see how far this title run lasts and who will dethrone him. So until then, let's keep enjoying wrestling. I hope you enjoyed the show. Great show, as always. Continue to show your support by calling in next week, 347-884-8452. Check my articles out on Bleacher Report and WrestlingInc.com. Chris Featherstone, of course, you know. Like at Crave Wrestling on Twitter, and go to Facebook and like the Facebook page. I post a lot of the articles there, as well as trivia questions and Who's Under the Mask? That's what I do a lot on Facebook. So we have a lot of fun there, too. So, all right, until next week, thank you for listening. On behalf of the Raw correspondent, Derek, this is Pancakes and Power Slams, presented by Crave Wrestling, Chris Featherstone, Derek and Company. Until then, thank you for your support. Continue to support. Spread the word about Crave Wrestling. And enjoy your week of wrestling. Have a good week. God bless. Goodbye.